This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker today was Judy Friedland, who's the commissioner of the Department of Buildings for the City of Chicago. Judy has served in that position since 2017. The Department of Buildings' mission is to enhance the safety and quality of life for residents and visitors of the City of Chicago through permitting, inspections, trade licensing, enforcement of the Chicago Building Code. And that was part of the big announcement that Commissioner Friedland made at our luncheon today. The City of Chicago, tomorrow, the Building Department, will bring forth a new building code that hopefully will be approved by the City Council of Chicago. The existing building code really goes back to 1949, and it was put together by John Merrill of the distinguished architecture firm of Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill. When the Department of Buildings was founded in the 1870s, their first building code report was published in the Chicago Tribune in 1875, and the Tribune complained that it was much too long in size. Well, this new building code not only will be much, much longer, will also be available online and eventually in DVD as well as printed form, but also will align Chicago's building code with national building code standards. This is very important because it will allow architects, it will allow builders, it will allow homeowners not only to go through the permitting process in a very short period of time as opposed to lengthy weeks and ends and months. Now the average permit is granted in 10 months, so construction and rehabilitation affected by the Department of Buildings will be faster, cheaper than ever before, will be more energy efficient and sustainability. The flexibility that the building department has should result in a much more pleasant experience for anyone building new or rehabilitating in the City of Chicago.
Our next speaker is the mayor of Chicago. As Skinny said, we are enormously grateful to him for always participating in our civic and charitable events, Misericordia, Special Olympics. And with the mayor, whenever you ask him on civic and charitable stuff, it isn't, well, maybe, yes, give me a date. And so we're enormously grateful. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you. Also, I want to thank the mayor for being a frequent attendee here and also sending over his leadership team as he is today. Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Mayor?
Thank you, Jay. It's also good to know that the president of the organization is up very early in the morning. I have to get up because I never sleep. You don't have to get up, so thank you. We're here to talk about, and Judy's going to give a presentation on the buildings department. And I can't say enough good things about Judy. One is, during her stewardship and leadership, Chicago set two consecutive years of record high amount of cranes up in the building, building anew in buildings for the City of Chicago. Over 60%, I think, has been our average. I've joked sometimes that the crane is the new Chicago bird because of Judy's work. And I want to congratulate her, and we are on pace for another record-setting year. And if you look at every one of those cranes in your mind's eye, that's 1,200 men and women going to work building a new building, a new hotel, a new office building, a new condo, new apartments for the City of Chicago. And we have set, as in her tenure, incredible records. And the other thing that she's done incredible is, and I know for all the people in this room, you've experienced it one way or another, she has made tremendous changes so things that are happening in building don't get lost in zoning, and things that are happening over the Department of Planning don't get lost when they come back to buildings. And for all the people that know, time is money. And your job is not to be spent going between the two departments trying to figure out how things happen. And she's not only made that much more efficient, also for our homeowners, and I told her this one experience, and she did an incredible job making changes. I said when I was trying to figure out how to get the permitting to make changes in our home to do an addition, it took more time getting the permit than it did doing the addition. And I said, and she's made a fast track for homeowners who want to do something to the kitchen, want to do something to the living room, want to do something to a bedroom. She has made that an easy, seamless process, and we've reduced 10 days waiting for a permit. Those are 10 days of putting people back to work, people getting their effort done. In addition, if you beyond the building part and beyond what she's done not only for the office part but for the homeowner, I think if anybody remembers the, and we all try to forget the polar vortex the other day, she did an incredible job making sure that people abide by the law who were not providing heat to our most vulnerable residents. And so the building department, while you think of it from the cranes that are in the air or the addition in a house, when you had the situation where some building owners or apartment owners were not doing their job, Judy's department was on the watch and made sure that everybody had the heat they needed if they didn't have the heat. And she showed her ingenuity by expediting the process so we didn't wait to go to get the judge's yes. We went in and got the heat restored and then dealt with the paperwork later. And that's had a sense of emergency and also a sense of humanity associated with it. And I cannot say enough good things about her effort there. And I take this, and I'll close. She'll get upset about this, but what that shows about humanity. And she won't get that upset because I'll walk that way and she can't really hit me. Judy was working in the law department in the city of Chicago before she became head of the buildings department. And I happen to be a buff of history and love history. Somewhere in the middle of the interview, early on, she said that her parents were both survivors of the Holocaust. And her dad is from Poland. Her mother is from France. And her father had a card that allowed him to get in and out of the ghetto regularly because it was a false ID out of somebody else's name. And I just found that unbelievably fascinating. And I kept talking and talking. We were going on for about 45 to 50 minutes just about the Holocaust, about being a child of two parents of the Holocaust, how they met in the camps, in the DP camps. And at the end of about 50 minutes, she said to me, "You didn't ask me anything about the building department. You don't even know if I'm gonna what I know." And I said, "I have no doubt you're going to succeed." And she goes, "How do you know that?" I said, "There's no way the child of a survivor is going to fail. You would never do that to your parents." And I've never, ever had to look back. I've never had to think twice. Anytime I give her an assignment, it's not only done incredibly efficiently, it is done with soul and caring and love. And Judy does it, whether it's a building going up or an addition on a home or making sure that somebody has heat in their house. She is a true public servant that not only brings her professionalism, but her entire character to the office. Judy?
Wow, I can't top that, can I? Yikes. Hi, everybody. It's so great to be here today. I see so many people I know and that I've known over the years, and you've all been so supportive and so great to me. I just don't even know where to begin. I want to thank Jay and the City Club and Ed and all of you for welcoming me here. It's the third time that I'm at City Club, and I'm just so excited and happy to be here. And I just want to talk to you a little bit about how great Chicago's doing. You all know that. We're a strong and vibrant city, but also what we're doing for the future, because we want to hang on to what we've got. Chicago's economy is strong. The city is in the midst of a building boom. Tower cranes dot our magnificent skyline. Each crane means hundreds of jobs and millions of dollars of investment. The irony is back when I was at the law department back in 2009, the building commissioner at the time, Rich Minacchio, called me, and his issue wasn't a crane going up, but it was a crane that needed to come down. I don't know how many of you remember, but there was an abandoned high-rise project at Wacker Drive and Clark Street called Waterview, and they were in bankruptcy, they were in foreclosure, there were lien holders everywhere chomping at the bit to get paid, and yet the building commissioner was concerned. How long could a tower crane stay up in the air without being dangerous and hazardous to the community? So we went into circuit court, and we worked together, all the parties, and we got a court order to be able to appoint a receiver. Two of the lien holders, you know, jumped in and volunteered their services really without pay, and we were able to get the crane down for $500,000. So that's a good example of a divergent parties working together to do the public well and to do the right thing. So that was a great experience. But my goodness, how times have changed since 2010. We've issued more building permits than ever before in the last 2 years. We broke a record in 2017 with more than 48,000. We nearly matched that total again last year, and our numbers are so far up again this year. To me, every permit is exciting because it's an investment in Chicago, whether it's a foundation permit for a skyscraper, a conversion of an existing building for a business that's expanding here, a renovation project to help a family grow in the home and in the neighborhood that they love, an entrepreneur's first brick-and-mortar establishment, or new affordable housing units. As you all here know, Chicago's position as a business and finance hub fuels our economy and supplies jobs. The more businesses and people call Chicago home, the larger our tax base. At the building department, we're doing our part to help Chicago be a welcoming city and to attract more business and more investment in our neighborhoods. We're solving day-to-day challenges, and we're working on longer-term initiatives for Chicago's future. As we have done throughout Mayor Emanuel's administration, we are making our permitting process more streamlined and efficient. And we are listening to and working with builders and residents in Chicago, our customers, to make the system better. We face many challenges. We need to think outside the box to find solutions for issues like affordable housing. I'm proud to be one of the jurors for the AIA Chicago's Disruptive Design Competition that is challenging architects to create forward-thinking, viable solutions for affordable housing. I had the opportunity last Friday to judge the first round of submissions. There were over 130, and we whittled it down to 3. I was really impressed by the designs. Some entries were more complex, and some are practical, common-sense solutions and approaches. That's not unlike a day at the building department. Issues are often complex, but we try to apply common-sense, practical solutions wherever possible. Since I became commissioner, we've implemented many reforms, and I believe we've changed the culture on the 9th floor at City Hall. A lead architect, Brian Tolman, for a national company that designs, builds, and operates event spaces across the country, recently told me that Chicago is a dream to work in compared to other U.S. cities. He commended us for our willingness to work with architects to solve challenges. I love hearing that because that is what we want Chicago to be. The dream place to invest and work. He's just one of many that we've heard from who say the process has become easier and our staff is friendly, helpful, and accessible. The permit process has definitely become more convenient. Under the leadership of Mayor Emanuel, Chicago became one of the first major cities to move most of its plan review function to an electronic system, allowing architects to submit plans online. We are the largest city in the country to do so. Miami is just starting. I am so grateful to the previous commissioners that undertook this transition. It was challenging and laid the groundwork for what we have been able to accomplish the last few years. One of my favorite things about Chicago is the beauty and character of its homes, including the bungalows that make up nearly one-third of Chicago's housing stock. One of my first assignments from the mayor that he mentioned earlier was to ensure that home renovation permits were given top priority. Now, most of these permits are issued in 30 days or less. And through our homeowners assistance program, we also offer free one-on-one assistance to help homeowners get their permits. This year, we continued our alternative plumbing materials pilot program, which allows new residential buildings up to 4 stories or existing 4-story buildings to use PVC for drain, waste, and vent pipe. More than 600 have participated in this program and have saved almost $15 million. That's $15 million for building owners and small developers working on projects throughout the city. I'm very grateful to Jim Coyne and Local 130 for their support in helping Chicagoans save this money. As for bigger projects, the Direct Developer Services Program we launched in 2017 has helped expedite plan reviews. The time it takes to permit large projects in many cases has been shortened from 6 to 8 months to 6 to 8 weeks. Amazing changes. We've come a long way to improve the permit process, and we're working on making it more streamlined and transparent to accelerate construction in all corners of the city. In the next 2 years, the department plans to move all remaining permit processes online, such as easy permits, because with today's technology, there's no reason for people to have to stand in line at City Hall. Though we love to see you, but I'm sure you have better things to do with your time. In addition to issuing permits, another critical function is the wide variety of inspections we perform each year for buildings, signs, elevators, and other devices, and thousands of inspections in response to 311 requests. All told, our inspectors in 2018 did almost 300,000 inspections. That's a lot of inspections. As the mayor mentioned, during our historic cold spell in January, we had inspectors working every day, including weekends, and we were adamant and crystal clear in our position of holding landlords responsible for supplying heat to their tenants. We stressed that owners would be held accountable and that failure to do so would result in prosecution in circuit court, with the city seeking daily fines and/or the appointment of a receiver to make the repairs at the owner's expense. When the courts were closed due to the cold, we were open. And I did not hesitate to use the police powers granted to the building commissioner by the city council to keep the public safe and took immediate action to repair heating systems and to keep tenants warm. And I'd like to just make a quick shout out to Globetrotters, who are our receiver, and Dave Feller, who's here. Poor Dave, he was on speed dial with me, and I'm like, you need to go here, you need to go there, you need to go everywhere. And he's just, okay, I'm getting there. But he did a fabulous job, and the people of the city of Chicago are very fortunate that we have people like this backing us up. So thanks, Dave and Globetrotters. We also work closely with the Department of Family Support Services to relocate tenants when the heat could not be restored, as well as with fire, water, health, planning, police, OEMC, and streets and sanitation. And one other shout out I want to make over the winter, what we went through and who was really there to help people, is our managing deputy, Marlene Hopkins. I don't know if Marlene is here. She could stand up. You know, Marlene is really a miracle worker, a saint. She goes into the toughest situations, elderly people, hoarders, people without heat, and people that are scared and afraid. And she has a way of talking to them and getting them to do what they need to do and bringing all these city departments together. And again, people in the city of Chicago need to recognize that we have people like that helping us all. So thank you, Marlene. It's so gratifying to be part of a city team that works together to keep our residents safe. Some of our inspections reveal work being done without permits. Even with all that we've done to streamline the permit process, there are still a handful of bad actors out there. In 2017, the City Council gave us additional powers to go after them. The bad actor ordinance has resulted in the suspension of permitting privileges for nearly 75 contractors whose illegal work was compromising safety for workers and the public. We have also issued cease and desist orders to 15 unlicensed contractors. Consumers deserve professional workmanship, and we have seen a real change in attitude in the field as a result of our strong enforcement. So thank my team for that. Permitting, inspections, and licensing are the core functions of our department, but at the heart of what we do is we administer the building code. Now you're going to get a little history lesson. Sorry. The city has been regulating buildings for a long time. The original city charter in 1837 gave the city council the power to restrict wooden buildings. But early Chicago was growing fast, and the fastest, cheapest way to build then and now was wood. Between 1837 and 1871, the population of Chicago grew from 4,000 to 334,000. 90% of the buildings in the city were frame construction. Then, a very dry summer, a spark, the Great Fire of 1871. 15,000 buildings burnt to the ground, 300 dead, 100,000 homeless, 3.5 square miles of city buildings burnt to the ground, from Roosevelt to Fullerton and the lake to Halsted. Suddenly, the city got serious about a building code. A ban on wood buildings was considered, among other things. The leading architects, builders, and insurance agents were consulted. Chicago's first building code was adopted in 1875. It was 5.5 pages long, and the Chicago Tribune said that was too long. In 1893, wait till they see what's coming. In 1893, the city council adopted a much more extensive building code, which imposed an absolute height limit of 10 stories to prevent more skyscrapers. The development of Chicago's first comprehensive building code did not come until 1905, after the Iroquois Theater fire showed that more requirements were needed to protect people inside buildings, not just the structures themselves. The last overhaul to the building code in the late 1940s was overseen by John Merrill, one of the founding partners of Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill. Significant parts of the 1949 code are still in effect today. It was proposed and adopted in the middle of a severe post-World War II affordable housing crisis. That code was controversial for allowing new materials in an attempt to meet the pressing demand for safe and affordable housing in the post-war economy, so allowing new materials like drywall and plywood. At the time, many expressed concerns about factory-built housing, and the code put strict limits on it. Since then and now, there have been multiple piecemeal updates to our code and code interpretation memos issued by various commissioners, including myself. For many years, there's been widespread recognition that Chicago should better align its building code with model codes and standards. In many areas, we already allow alignment with national codes, and we've made it work, thanks to the extraordinary work and institutional knowledge of a few people, which we are very fortunate to have. However, we need to take the long view and put a system in place that will work well into the future. We need a comprehensive, modernized code that is better aligned with national models and speaks the same language as everywhere else in the country. One that will be easier to keep up to date going forward and that can adapt to the changes in the building industry. Without it, there will be no easy way for experts, much less ordinary citizens or out-of-town developers, to navigate our hundreds of pages of complex technical codes and single-topic memos. This adds to the cost and complexity of building here and drives away investment from our neighborhoods that need it the most. A revised building code would enable a much wider pool of architects, developers, and investors to understand the opportunities available in Chicago. And that is just one of the many reasons I am beyond, and you have no idea how excited I am to announce that tomorrow we will introduce to City Council the first comprehensive building code update in 70 years. It's about time, I think. The modernized code will build on the success of the new electrical and elevator codes and will bring Chicago's construction requirements into the 21st century. The electrical code update that passed 2 years ago, with the steadfast support of Local 134, Don Finn, and the Electrical Contractors Association, set the stage for this endeavor, and we are so very grateful. So thank you, 134 and Don. Thank you so much. The electrical elevator and now building code modernization is a win for all of our customers, from affordable housing, small to large developers, architects, contractors, building owners, local business, preservationists, and homeowners. And it's important for our city as a whole because it will help make Chicago be more competitive and more attractive and welcoming to new business, investment, and development in every neighborhood. And here's how. The new code will reduce barriers to cost-effective construction by expanding options to design and build with the widest range of materials and technologies. This will bring down the cost of new construction and building rehabs in Chicago, like single-family homes, affordable housing units, two- and three-flats, and offices. The expanded range of materials will make us ready for factory-built housing, and it's here. And I'm excited to work with Mark Skender, who's here with us today, and others who are finding innovative solutions to control cost, reduce waste, and improve quality by rethinking how we build. From my conversations, I know that alignment with up-to-date consensus-based codes and standards will help Chicago become the leader in this emerging field by building new housing that goes up faster, cheaper, and safer than ever before. Similar to the life safety evaluations that Chicago incorporated for high-rises, the model codes we are aligning with look at the number of exits, the type of construction, and the use to determine what is needed to rehab a property. This approach will bring down the cost of projects like the adaptive reuse of schools, retail buildings, and vacant buildings throughout the city. The updated code will promote energy efficiency and sustainability by making it easier to construct green buildings, ones that are durable, functional, and energy efficient. To ensure our city is a safe place to live and work, the new code will balance increased flexibility in construction materials with increased safety requirements based on national best practices. With the new code, we can continue to improve and streamline the permit process. It will allow us to reserve our case-by-case review processes for unique situations, while streamlining the approval process for many routine topics that are addressed by the model codes. An important feature of this code modernization is that we adopt the national code language that is used everywhere except Chicago. For example, in our code, a Class A1 occupancy is a single-family home, where everywhere else in the country, it means a theater. Just imagine the confusion and sometimes costly mistakes that this can cause. Gary Pinnaire of the Carpenters Union is very supportive of this code update, especially the language, because his workers work all over the state and in and out of Chicago. And he believes that the consistent language alone will save time and money. I am so grateful for Gary's insight through this process and what he has brought to DOB to focus our attention on worker safety. But for all its changes, we have kept parts of the Chicago Code that work, and we are uniquely adapted to our local conditions and urban density, such as the use of non-combustible materials to enhance fire protection. Like, we still remember the fire. So we're big on fire protection. It's been a true team effort to get to this point. And it all starts with Mayor Emanuel, who has championed this initiative and made it a reality. He recognizes how important it is to align our code with national standards as part of his overreaching mission to bring more investment, development, and business to our city. I would like to thank Deputy Commissioners Asif Rahman and Grant Ulrich and my staff. And I think that, yeah. You know, they have both worked extremely hard, and I know everybody here appreciates the long hours and the late-night emails they get from Asif and all the effort that Grant put into this. We wouldn't be here without them, and they truly love the city. They are so dedicated, and the time they put in is just amazing. And again, city is very lucky to have people like them. So thanks again, Asif and Grant. I also want to give a huge thank you to Fire Commissioner Richard Ford III, Deputy Fire Commissioner John Javorka, Commissioners Karen Tamley, David Reifman, and Dr. Julie Morita, and more than 100 volunteer technical experts and industry leaders, some of who are here today. Thank you. Would everybody that worked on this code please stand up and be recognized? Please. I mean, everybody. City and non-city. Would all the DOB staff and employees that work so hard year-round to make everything happen also please stand up and be recognized? Thank you. The city and the people here of Chicago are so fortunate to have you. I want to say a special thank you to Zurich Esposito of AIA Chicago. From my very first day, he has generously offered his time and energy in any way needed, and we wouldn't be here today without his efforts. And my gratitude extends to the entire AIA Chicago organization. So all of you AIA members here, thank you so much. We are so very grateful. I also want to especially thank Jackie Koo, who's here with us today, Sarah Yerkes, and Mike Pfeiffer of the International Code Council for being fantastic partners in this endeavor. Thank you so much. I am amazed at the collaboration of all the different interests in developing this updated code. This is the third attempt that I've been involved with. Back when I was at the law department, the city tried twice, and both times it just fell apart. So you can imagine how I felt before embarking on this third attempt. Asif, Grant, and I gave it a lot of thought, and we made a list of lessons learned and mapped out a plan and an outline to keep the project on track. And so here we are. We've come a long way, and Chicago is now well positioned for more progress going forward. With this code update, we have created a strong foundation and a solid framework for the next administration to continue to build on. There is always room for improvement, and more work will need to be done in the near future, including a more comprehensive update to the accessibility, fire, and mechanical codes. Implementation will not happen overnight. It will take several months to train our employees, update our systems, and publish the code. We expect to fully implement this in 2020. We've had an amazing 3 years of record number of permits issued. Just imagine how far we can go with this modernization. We've taken the long view for Chicago's future to continue to grow in every neighborhood and on every single block. A lot of hard work has brought us to this point. We're close to the finish line, but we need to keep working hard to make this monumental endeavor a reality. I ask for your continued support as we seek to earn the City Council's approval. A new, modernized code for the 21st century is one of the key pieces to ensure Chicago maintains its leading position and retains and remains a welcoming city that every one of us and everybody in the city loves to call home. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Judy. Boy, we're all going to be looking forward to that city council meeting tomorrow. Probably have a full house. And it's amazing. So this will be the first real update, comprehensive, since 1949.
70 years.
Folks, if anyone has any question they would like to ask of Commissioner Fridland, there are these blue forms on your table. Just write down your question, and members of our staff will come around, pick them up, and we'll try to answer as many of those as possible. Hey, that history lesson going back to 1837, 1871, and the fire. Isn't it interesting that on the site of Mrs. O'Leary's cottage and barn over there on West Tecovan Street, that's where the city built the Chicago Fire Department Training Academy. I mean, where else would you have it other than over there? That's great. Okay, we've got a few questions here. By the way, if any of you couldn't keep up with the comments and the talk today, we do a podcast of this as well as live streaming, as Jay said. This is from Patricia Provenzano. She's with U.S. Trust. What can be done to control the congestion caused by construction vehicles in the West Loop? Guess where she lives?
Well, you know, the bad comes with the good, right? I mean, we're grateful to have all this construction, but I suggest that maybe we could have a chat with the Department of Transportation and the construction companies doing the work, and I'm sure we can work that out. We'd be happy to meet with you and figure out a plan to help reduce that.
Very good. This is from Andrew Leonicus.
Leonicus.
Do you know him?
Well, he went to school with my daughters. And now he's going to
Miami
be
of Ohio?
No, Edgebrook School.
Edgebrook School. Oh, because he put down here he's with the University of Miami. Of course, he doesn't say if it's Ohio or Florida. School of Architecture and Real Estate Development. So you know him.
I know him. He went Chicago Public School graduate.
Where are you, Anthony?
Andrew,
right over here. Terrific. It's always good to, as a fellow Chicago Public School graduate, it's always nice to see another one. Okay, here's his question. You think he's going to give you an easy question?
I don't know, Andrew. Better.
As Cook County's landfills reach capacity for C&D waste, how can we expect to see initiatives for deconstruction of buildings and material reuse reflected in the new codes?
Well, Andrew, that sounds like a very good assignment for you. So I would love to hear your proposal and send it to me, and we'll see what we can do about incorporating it. I mean, we do have to work with everybody. I know that in a lot of demolitions now, a lot of the bricks and the materials are saved, and we want to continue to do that. We love the adaptive reuse of buildings, and we're really excited about this code because it does make the adaptive reuse of our buildings in Chicago a lot more flexible, and the reuse of materials and use of materials we don't normally allow. So that's exciting. And Andrew, I look forward to hearing from you.
Did you ever teach? Because that was always one of the favorite responses of mine at the university. Andrew, that's a very good question. Why don't you research it and report back in 2 weeks? Terrific. Okay, this is from Ronald Aguirre, who's with Premier Business Services, Inc., City Club member. He'd like to know about the state of online automation for the DOB. Are all records available online, and can all applications and permits be completed online? I know you talked a little bit about this, but you might want to elaborate.
Sure. So Chicago's one of the first major cities that all our plans for standard plan review and self-cert permits are done online. You also can get your electrical and your plumbing permits online. The one set of permits that we do not have online are easy permits, like say, for example, you're doing more than 1,200 feet of drywall, something like that. So we are working very closely with DOIT, the Department of Innovation and Technology with the city, to be able to bring that online. And once that is done, we will be 100% online.
Judy, this new building code, will it be available like on DVD as well as in print? Have you guys thought about that at all?
It's going to be available online as a read-only version, and then you'll also be able to purchase it. So the everyday citizen will be able to access it. And, of course, we will do everything possible to get it done as quickly as possible. We're working with the Illinois, the International Code Council, to get these books published and online as quickly as possible. So we're hoping by the fall, but don't hold me to it. We still have to work out some of those details.
Great. Now, I think you said that last year or the year before, the department did 300,000 inspections.
2018.
That's a lot of inspections.
It is.
How many people do these inspections? If you were in control of the budget and that, I mean, would you like to have more inspectors? And could you tell us a little bit about their training and development?
Sure. So the building department has, we have about 275 employees. Almost 200 of them in some capacity or other do inspections. We have some reviewers that not only do plan review, but they also do inspections. They're all trained. They're certified. They're either trained carpenters, electricians, plumbers, mechanical, HVAC, and so forth. And, you know, I want to take this opportunity to tell you how great our inspectors are, because they work really hard and they're out there and they try to help people as best they can and give them advice and guidance. And, you know, their spirit and their energy is so good. And when I just think, or when I thank the people in leadership, I really have to also thank the people that are out on the ground level, going door to door, knocking on doors, getting into people's apartments, working with restaurant owners, making sure that they have proper ventilation, reducing the chances of fire, all those things that they do day in and day out. They do a marvelous job, and we all should be very, very proud of them and very grateful for them.
Thank you. Let's give them a round of applause, folks. Anyone else? Are there any questions out there that you would like us to? Okay. Oh, way in the back. Amanda? Someone will come back and get your question. Just pass it. She's coming around. Okay. Let's see what we have here. This is from Sharon Carter, who's way back there. She's with Ancura Development. Okay, will the development of the 135 Opportunity Zones be supported by the city over the next 10 years?
Well, I can't speak for 10 years. I don't know what the future holds, but today they sure are, and I don't see why not. I mean, we are really excited about all the retail and opportunity zones that have been happening throughout the city, and we are very supportive of all of you that are trying to start a business or grow your business or grow your contracting business. We want to be there for you, and I'm sure that whatever comes the next 10 years will also want to support you, because small businesses, you are the rock of our city, and we thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you for that question.